It's a blessing to be here, to see each other, and to give praise to God. And I appreciate the singing and the words of the dawn at the Lord's table and the prayers, the scripture reading. I appreciate each one of you that's here today. And it's great to have Ted and Gretchen back from California. And I see that the kids are getting out of college and that Hannah is home from Florida College. And my sister Beth and her husband, they were down there picking up their daughter, my niece Abby Hudson. And school is out there for the summer. And we have beautiful weather. Jeremy's parents are here from Arizona to spend a few days with Jeremy and Jen, who we are just love having them here with us. So it's a wonderful day to come together to worship God and study from God's Word together. Jim and Debbie are, I'm sure, having a wonderful cruise, and they should be back this week, I believe. They're probably down in Florida and will be on their way back home shortly. But we've lost four families here in the last few months. And John and Claudia are on their way to Arizona. David and Betsy are on their way to South Carolina. And of course, Chuck and Patsy are in Texas. And Burke and Joanne have moved down by Sumner. So we were missing those families. And everyone is vital. Everyone's needed. And so it's good to be together this morning. We want to turn to John chapter 15 and look again here this morning at this great passage where Jesus is giving us a picture of the Christian life, really. And he is using the example, I am the vine and you are the branches. And as we talked last week, Jesus here was familiar with the growing of the grapevines and in the land of Israel at that time. And what he says here is very true agriculturally, how the owner will come and prune the branches and prune them back and help them to grow more fruitful grapes. And that is always the goal, to be fruitful. And Jesus understood that he symbolism of the vine from the Old Testament, where God said that he had planted his people Israel as a vine in a noble place, and yet they had borne wild grapes. And it was very disappointing that God had spent so much time and labor with the people of Israel, and they had not borne the fruit unto God that he was seeking. And Jesus came and he said, I am the true vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Well, we understand here as Jesus is speaking about this that he is talking about the life of a faithful believer, a faithful Christian, and the importance in your life, each one of our lives, bearing fruit. And I just want to say how important it is for us to keep in mind that God created each one of us unique. God did not go through his creation with a cookie cutter and create each one of us to be exactly alike. He had in mind something far greater than that, to have you as a unique, made in the image of God individual that is able to bear fruit to his glory. And that goes so far beyond what we sometimes in life try to do, is look around and see someone else who we see maybe to be, appears to be successful, and then we try to copy that person. And that is not how God intends for us to bear fruit to him, or for us to look like we're as good as someone over here. God wants you to bear fruit. He wants me to bear fruit. And God is working in your life to produce the fruit to the maximum effect. And so it's not going to all look alike. But it will be to God's glory, because He is the one to Christ in His glory who is bearing this fruit in your life. And that is the point that Jesus is making, that we are to abide in Him. And we understand the importance of that, because the vine cannot bear fruit unless it stays in the vine. The branches cannot bear fruit. Even a strong branch, if it is cut away from the vine, it cannot bear fruit. It dies. We need to keep it in mind, that very basic principle about being a Christian, being a faithful, strong, successful, fruitful Christian, is that the key to it is being able to abide in Christ and to have a relationship with Jesus in our life that is a close, living relationship that energizes us. And through that, fruit is being produced. God is bearing that fruit in your life and in my life. And the person who abides in Christ is the one that much fruit is being produced by. You know, when we first become a Christian, there is many times a lot of questions and misunderstanding that we have about bearing fruit. Because we think oftentimes that we can bear fruit alone. We look upon ourselves many times as being strong. That I am a strong person, and I have borne fruit in the past in my life, and therefore I can be independent. On my own, I am going to be able to succeed in bearing fruit to God. But I want us to remind ourselves that that's the very opposite to what Jesus is saying here in this passage. What Jesus is saying is that in order to bear fruit, we must abide in Him. And that is the key to the whole ability we have, that God bears fruit through us, because we are in Christ. We are abiding in Christ. And of course, in order to be abiding in Christ, we have to enter into Christ through our obedience to Him and obedience to the gospel. But Christ is speaking to His apostles here, who have already entered into that relationship, and to us who have already entered into that relationship as His people, the importance that we must continue to abide in Christ. And it is through Him that the fruit is going to be produced in our lives. So it is easy to look around at other people and begin to measure them as being the way to be fruitful in life, when actually the danger of that is it's actually going to draw us away from Christ if we're not careful. And we begin to look to other people who seem successful, or we look to another congregation, then they may be growing and they may have a lot of people, and we think, now what is it they're doing? We need to be doing that, and we need to watch them and imitate whatever it is they're doing. Christ simply says, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. So I don't care how strong you are or how successful you think you are going to be in your life, or how much knowledge you have and how much you think you're going to be effective and know how to bear fruit, unless we abide in Christ, we're not going to accomplish anything. That is the key to bearing fruit. If we are drawn away from the vine by anything in life, we begin to fail. And we begin to be dying on the vine, to put it mildly. And of course, he says here that my Father is the vine dresser. And if any man does not bear fruit, he cuts away those branches. He prunes those, even the ones that are being productive. Because God wants it to be fruitful. God produces real fruit in our lives when we abide in Christ. And so anything that in your life is hindering you or hindering any of us from that close relationship with Christ, the things of this world, sin in our lives, those things that come between us and Christ, and it can be other people that we are trying to imitate them instead of following Christ. But the goal is for you to get as close to Christ as you can in your life by putting aside those things. Anything that would hinder you to having a deep, loving relationship with Jesus Christ in your life. And the key to that is through His Word. Dwelling in His Word and allowing His Word to dwell in us. And I understand some people say, you know, I try to pick up my Bible and read my Bible and I don't get anything out of it. And sometimes I wonder if what we're thinking is, I'm going to go into my Bible and I'm going to get something out of my Bible and then that's going to help me bear fruit. When we need to just love God's Word and dwell on God's Word, and that is going to change us in our life and transform us into Christ-like character in our life, which Jesus is seeking, that through that fruit, He's going to be able to bear much fruit to us. Whenever we look in our life, we say, well, I've borne a lot of fruit in the past in my life. I've done a lot of good things in the service to the Lord. Yeah, but we need to remember that was God doing that through us. It wasn't us doing it on our own. We need to give the glory to Him and not ever begin to think, I can do this on my own without Christ. We cannot. So we want to look at fruit this morning as how do we bear fruit as a Christian? And I think this is one of the things that the Bible speaks about so frequently, and yet there is so much misunderstanding about it. Because God uses the analogy of fruit throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. There are about 100 times in the Old Testament that He talks about fruit. There are about 70 times in the New Testament He talks about fruit. And in 24 out of the 27 books of the New Testament, God talks about the importance of bearing fruit. That we can bear good fruit, we can bear evil fruit. That God wants us to bear much fruit, and that we will bear much fruit as we abide in Christ. And yet, spiritual fruit, when the Bible talks about spiritual fruit, it's not necessarily talking about outward success. It's not talking about, I need to be enthusiastic. I need to have this winning personality with people. The Bible gives us five main examples of true spiritual fruit. And I want us to look at that this morning and simply point out the fact and emphasize that each one of these, the ability for us to bear this fruit, all goes back to abiding in Christ. And so when the Bible speaks of bearing fruit, it first of all speaks about the fruit of the Spirit that is born inwardly in our character of our life through our relationship with Christ. And the Spirit of God dwelling in us through that, so that our character is changed. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit that is spoken of in Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 5 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. There are nine of these characteristics that are given. But we have, I think, just the study of the fruit of the Spirit is a whole study in itself for us to be able to appreciate what Paul is saying here. And again, each one of us is unique as God created us. And the fruit in Greg's life is going to look different than the fruit in Jess's life and in someone else's life. And yet it's the fruit of the Spirit of God in each one of our lives as we know Him and as we abide in Him. God produces characteristics in our lives that we become like Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is a breakdown of the characteristics of Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit is born in our life because we are close to Christ. It doesn't come about in our life because we start out with love and say, now I'm going to go out and I'm going to learn how and I'm going to concentrate on showing love in my life. And then when I get done with that, I'm going to go and I'm going to start concentrating on joy and how to have that in my life. And then I'm going to go on to peace. What the Bible is saying is that if we abide in Christ, God will produce this fruit in your life. Each one of us is going to be different. But God's going to produce love and joy and peace in Gary's life. And He's going to produce love and joy and peace in Violet's life. And through that, God is going to be glorified. Because we are abiding in Christ. And we are becoming more and more like Him. So it isn't produced by self-effort on our part. I don't gain the fruit of the Spirit by trying harder and harder and harder to have the fruit of the Spirit. I develop the fruit of the Spirit by abiding in Christ. And God produces it in our life as we know Him and get closer to Him and begin to reflect that in our life. So Galatians 5 is the first example of fruit that the Bible gives. But then there is in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, where the Hebrew writer says, therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So when we praise God and thank Him for who He is and what He has done, we're offering fruit to God. Whenever we are giving praise to God, we're offering fruit to His name, to His glory. And some of that we have been doing this morning as we're singing these songs of praise to God and offering up prayer to God. But I believe that God is looking for each one of us in our life to be consistently doing this. And Ted was talking about the importance of consistency this morning in our class. That God is wanting consistency. Not just here on Sunday morning where we together sit down and we give praise to God, which is a wonderful thing. But consistent in our lives, that when we go to work on Monday morning, we take opportunity as it comes to give praise to God. Sometimes we see the athletes doing this as they are in the games. And sometimes we see Edwin Diaz, who is the closer now for the Mariners, before he begins his ninth inning, I notice he always steps off the mound, moves his hat, and closes his eyes, and I'm assuming that he is praying to God. I mean, it appears to me that that's what he is doing. Sometimes as they hit the home runs and they round the bases or coming into home, they're looking up into the heavens. And they're thanking God. And the jockey who won the Kentucky Derby yesterday, one of the first things that they interviewed him after, how does it feel to win the Kentucky Derby? I just want to give my praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we all have opportunities to give praise to God in our life. And He's saying that when we do that, we're bearing fruit to God. Being thankful for what He has done for us, that gives fruit to God. And He is glorified by that. Well, in the book of Philippians, in chapter 4 and verse 17 of Philippians, we see that Paul makes a statement that indicates here that another way that we can give bear fruit in our life is when we reach out and help someone who is in need as an act of our faith in Christ. We take the time from our busy time to go and help another person in a way that makes it clear we're doing this out of our faith in God to help you. And sometimes it can be financially helping them who is in need. And sometimes it can be going and visiting them. But taking the effort to go out of our way to help another person in the name of Christ. And Paul received this gift from the Philippians that he refers to here in Philippians 4:17. He said, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek for the fruit that abounds to your account." So Paul saw this fruit, this gift that was given by the Philippians to him in his support of evangelism, that he was preaching the gospel, and they sent money to help support him. He saw that as a fruit unto God. Coming from their life was showing a fruit of they wanted to help spread the gospel. And that was bearing fruit unto God. And we can do that in many different ways in our life to help another person. I think it's a wonderful thing right now, the Gilbertson family, how they are coming together to help Jim and Luana in this time of need. And Lori and Melissa talked to me about that, as what can we do? And that was one suggestion that I made, is if you can all work together, it'll be a wonderful thing. Of maybe one day one of you come, another day one of you come, and help out your mother. And they are doing that, and it's a beautiful expression. And that is fruit unto God that is being produced in that family. And God is being glorified in that. As we are able to, with our strengths and energies that we have, the opportunities that God gives us, we reach out and help another person. That gives fruit unto God. Paul in Romans chapter 15 and verse 28, he referred to that in speaking about the offerings that were put together to help the needy saints. He said, "Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain." Now, he's referring to the collection that they put together for the saints of Judea. And he was going to go and bring that and to seal that. He refers to that as this fruit. "I shall go then to Spain and plan to preach there in those other parts of the world." But here again we see the fruit that is being produced as Christians help others. And the emphasis in that is especially those of the household of faith. But it is limited to that, as we as an individual have the opportunity. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, he said, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith." And I want to emphasize that if you have a neighbor, if you have a person that you work with and you become aware of a special need in their life, what better opportunity as a Christian to go and help that very person unselfishly and generously, financially or otherwise, to go and visit them in the hospital, to pray for them, to take of your time to help that individual, that's bearing fruit unto God. James 1 and verse 27, it says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." This is all fruit that is being born unto the glory of God when Christians are demonstrating to others, we are a people like God who love others and want to help as we have the opportunity. And then we find in the book of Colossians, in chapter 1 and verse 10, he says to the Colossians that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, God wants us to be walking worthy of Him in our life. The way that we do that is by bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. And increasing in the knowledge of God, being fruitful in every good work. A large part of that, I believe, is that we walk in a godly life, in a holy way of life. We're set apart from sin. As we follow Christ and we live a faithful Christian life, our life is different than that of the world around us. We're set apart from sin. We're devoted to God. And people see that in your life. Oh, he's a Christian. You know, he doesn't come to the beer parties. We understand that. He's a Christian. He doesn't do that. He doesn't use the bad language. People get to know you. They understand certain things about you, that you are a Christian. You are a person who lives according to your faith in Christ. And that is why you are different. And people do respect that. And it is a bearing of a fruit that has an influence upon their life. It has an impact. And then, of course, we come to what sometimes is the one that we all immediately jump to thinking about. And certainly this is fruit. And that is when a soul is converted to Jesus Christ. When someone who is lost becomes a Christian, fruit is born through that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15, Paul was speaking about some of the household there of Stephanas and others in Corinth. And he said they were the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, the first Christians converted to Christ in Greece was that household and that family. So that was fruit unto God. But in John 4 and verse 35 is one of the clearest examples where we find, there are many examples of this, some even in the Old Testament that we can find, where God speaks of saving souls as being bearing fruit. Such as in Daniel chapter 12 is a good example in the Old Testament where we can see this same thing is demonstrated there of saving souls, winning souls for Christ. In Daniel 12 and verse 3, he said, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." That those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Well, how do we do that? It's by our life having an influence upon another person to to turn them to God. That is always one of the high goals that we have as being a Christian, is to help convert others and help them to come to know Christ. But in John 4 and verse 35, Jesus was at the well of Samaria and speaking with his disciples. And he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life." There it is. Gathers fruit for eternal life. "That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." And what he is saying is that sometimes when a person is converted to Christ, it is the works, the fruit of another person's labor that you might pick it up at that point, and they might be baptized or converted. But it's actually a number of different circumstances that have labored together to bring a person to Christ. But nevertheless, it's fruit unto God. But there's no need for us to be anxious because you have not won so many people to Christ. Sometimes we hear people saying that. "I worry about my salvation because I don't know if I have ever brought another person to Christ." We shouldn't worry about that. What we need to concentrate on is abiding in Christ. Christ will produce that fruit through us if we abide in Him. He's going to transform us. He's going to open opportunities for us to share our faith with other people. So we don't need to dwell on and worry about that. How many people have I won to Christ? Because it's not us, it's Christ. And dwelling in Christ is how it all, that fruit is produced, by abiding. And we may not always see the fruit immediately when we are having a part in it. Your life is having an influence and impact upon other people. And eventually, somewhere down the line, they may not even be here living in this area again, but they might be converted to Christ, and the fruit is born to God. So others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. But he says, the fields are white unto harvest. And that's why he was sitting there at the well talking to a woman, and they came back and said, "What is he doing talking to this woman who is a Samaritan? Doesn't he know who she is?" And he says, "Look, the fields are white unto harvest." Now, whenever we bear fruit unto God, Jesus is saying, there's many other benefits that come forth from that in our life. First of all, there's answered prayer. He says in verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." But I think again the key here is that if you abide in me and I in you, you will ask what you will and what you desire. What are we going to desire? We're going to desire what Christ desires. We're not going to be asking for a new Ford Thunderbird or something like that of this world that we might want. We're going to be asking for what Christ wants. We desire what He wants. We desire people to be saved. We desire to see His church grow. We desire to see ourselves grow and become more productive for Him, that He will be glorified. And so if we are fruitful in our life, we can ask Him what we desire and it will be done for you. David said in Psalm 37 in verse 4, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." James talks about the fact that you ask many things and they do not come to pass because you ask them to spend them in your own lusts and God doesn't give them to us. And then secondly, he says we will have fullness of joy. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Again, that is a part of the fruit of the Spirit is born in our life, that we have joy and our joy will be complete in life. Sometimes when we stumble through sin, we begin to lose that joy in life. God intends that Christians are going to be the fullest joy of anyone in the world. And sometimes we look around the room and all we see is long faces. David said in Psalm 51, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." If there's been sin that has entered in, we need to repent of that. Confess that before God and He forgives us and can restore to us the joy of salvation. And he says the assurance of salvation. We can have the assurance of salvation. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. So we all struggle sometimes. Am I saved? How can I be confident in my salvation? And again, the answer to that is abide in Christ. Abide in the vine. And in Romans 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So God intends for each one of us to bear fruit. Each one of us is unique. He created each one of us special, and there's not another person like you in the world. And God wants to use you. And when we abide in Him, He will produce the most magnificent fruit coming forth out of your life in many different ways. And it will be unique. So don't go trying to imitate someone else and copy from them. How can I be more successful in living the Christian life? Well, what we need to do is abide in Christ. Christ will produce the fruit in us. He promises to do that. We're going to stand and sing now the invitation this morning. There may be those today who need to come to Christ, who need to enter into Him for the first time. But all of us have this world draws us away. It draws us away from Christ in many different ways. We need to keep our minds focused on Him. Spend time in His Word. Get to know Him better. Get closer to Him. And that's the key to everything else that will happen in your life. So if you're here this morning, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.